on an ultralight beam. We on an ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe and in my holy war.
Welcome back to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. If you've been listening for the past couple of weeks, you know that we are telling stories about propaganda. This week's writer tells us a story about what happened when he ran into an old friend. Here's Ron Batita to introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. As a founder of the first fringe theater festival in the States, co-founder of the largest fringe theater festival in the States, and advisor to the best fringe theater festival in the States, Ezra Buzzington is non-ironically referred to as the godfather of the fringe, a mantle he wears with great pride, some weight, and periodic shame. Ladies and gentlemen, Ezra Buzzington.
It was the day after a glue-sniffing party gone horribly wrong. I was walking down the main drag of my dying hometown of Muncie, Indiana, at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It was surprisingly bright and sunny for that hour, and due to my ass-length hair, my sporty tam-o'-shanter, and a heavy peacoat I was wearing from my previous night's revels, I was sweating the gooey stench of Weldwood rubber cement which seeped through my 17-year-old pores like a cracked pot. I couldn't shake the feeling that everybody I passed could smell it as well. Through the lingering fog of my over-the-counter high, combined with the overbearing heat of this early summer's day, I felt as Jesus must have felt on his walk to Calvary. Hot, stumbling, sweaty, and generally put upon. While I had no cross, per se, due to my outsider status, I still carried the weight of societal ostracism foisted upon me by a severely right-winged environment. But that morning, the people who normally sniffed, scoffed, or spat in my general direction wore a perplexed look of concern, a combination of automatic revulsion and reserved pity, just like Jesus. Well, I rounded a corner and ran smack into Michael Johansson, a friend of mine in his 20s with whom I'd once volunteered at the local drug overdose hotline. He looked different, rather sparkly, in fact, in the early morning Midwestern sun. He looked deeply into my eyes, something he'd never really done before, and said, "I knew I'd see you today." Is that right? Well, now, a little old lady carrying a shopping bag from Ball Stores eyed us suspiciously. Michael looked at her, smiled sweetly, something I'd also never seen him do before, and said, "Good morning, ma'am. Isn't it a beautiful morning? I hope you have a blessed day." Well, she glanced at me, confused, wanting to sneer, then looked back at Michael, smiled, grasped his wrist. Michael looked into her eyes for an inordinate amount of time, and she teared up. "I know," Michael said gently. She squeezed his wrist, smiled, and walked away, wiping at her eyes gently. What the fuck was that? I sneered. He said, "When she touched me, I heard a voice say, 'Be gentle. She's lost without her love.' So I tried to comfort her." "So, how's Kathy?" Kathy was Michael's girlfriend. "Oh, we're married. We live in Anderson now," he said. I stopped cold. Michael has always sworn that he would never get tied down to a life of constraint. He was always a free and dangerous spirit who was the first to try anything, be it medicinal, philosophical, spiritual, or sexual. Jesus, I whispered. Exactly, he punctuated. Well, he walked me home as we caught up. I described for him one of the hallucinations that I'd had the night before during the huffing party. During a particularly strong nose-deep spiral into the bag containing the open 32-ounce can of glue, I suddenly heard voices singing that old spiritual hymn, Amen. 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 Well, I unglued my head from the bag and floated, sort of, toward the voices. And there sat Sidney Poitier. He was at a table surrounded by nuns. They were all singing, and with each verse they sang, I felt my head swell slightly, uncomfortably, you know, expand like a balloon. And while I recognized the scene as an old movie playing on TV, I knew that if my head continued to expand with each verse, it would eventually pop. And that song has a lot of verses. Well, I couldn't look away, and I couldn't leave the room because my head was now too big to get through the door. I started to panic. At one point, near the end of the song, Sidney stands and looks at the Mother Superior. Well, I became convinced that should he walk around the table and touch her, my head would explode. It had reached its capacity. I was going to blow. He started to approach her, but then, at the very last second, he turned around and headed out the door. And the further he got away from the singing, the more I relaxed. And my head returned to somewhat normal. Well, it was then that Michael looked at me and asked what I was doing later that evening and would I be interested in swinging by his place in Anderson if he could arrange a ride. Well, I'd never done any drugs with Michael, but it was known that he loved acid and had only the best. So, sure, I said, I'm in. Well, around 6:30 that evening, I heard the familiar crunch of gravel outside my parents' house and rushed out to grab the ride before my mom could question my plans. A beat-up yellow VW bus was gurgling in the driveway. It sported a magnetized sign slapped on the side. Jacob's Ladder, it said, only one way up. I thought it was strange that a ladder company would use a VW bug to haul its wares, but when I saw the long-haired freak driving it, who was clearly high on something, it made a kind of loopy sense. Hop in, brother, the nameless stranger hollered. We're on our way to the promised land. Okay, well, now I'd been to Anderson, Indiana before. So while I can plainly state that it is probably a great place to raise a family if you're into that kind of thing, it could never, in any fantasy world, be considered a promised land by even the most stretched of imaginations. But hey, man, whatever. Any place can be heaven when filtered through the right amount of window pane or a pure hit of orange sunshine. So take me to heaven, you crazy fucking angel. Well, when we hit Yorktown, about the halfway mark on our 30-mile sojourn, my driver, who introduced himself as Wolf, turned and shouted over the rattling VW chariot, so, how long you known Jesus? Honestly, I wasn't sure that I'd heard him correctly. Who? I shouted back. He laughed. Jesus, man, my Lord and Savior stuff. Well, it was my turn to laugh, though I did it somewhat awkwardly. I nodded and started humming something to myself. I glanced around the van for the first time. There were several pamphlets I hadn't noticed scattered around the floor, flapping aimlessly in the breezy bus. I picked one up. Jacob's Ladder, Only One Way Up, a gathering of like-minded souls who, after discovering that drugs are not the answer, band together to celebrate their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a communal settings. Meetings every Sunday in Anderson. Join us in the... I could read no further. So, I queried Wolf, you do know Michael Johansson, right? Brother Michael? Well, I should say so, man. He's the leader. He's filled with the light of the Lord. He was so happy to run into you today, said we'd have another soul by midnight. My stomach flipped. Damn. No acid for me tonight, I guess. Well, by the time we pulled into Michael's driveway, I'd planned several methods of escape, but upon arrival, I decided to zen the moment out a bit. Inside, there were some young people sitting in a circle. A candle burned, obviously, in a Chianti bottle, and Kathy was singing some bland song about angels or something. An older woman was there, Wolf's mother, apparently. She had few teeth, and she sported a beehive. Well, she saw us, ran to me, and squeezed me so hard I could see her aura. Well, now we've been waiting for you, son, she said. Please kneel down with us and pray. Well, I didn't so much fall to my knees as was gently pushed, but down I went. I remember the corduroy material on the ottoman my head was pressed against, and I could hear several voices praying for my soul. Wolf's mom commanded me to accept Jesus as my personal savior, while simultaneously mumbling unrecognizable gibberish about demons being gone and whatnot. She rubbed my neck gently as she shouted, and I felt several pairs of hands stroking my jean jacket. Do you accept Jesus as your savior? She shouted. Sure, I guess. He can't hear you. Okay, then, yeah, I do. Do you? Well, clearly, I was not going to be released until I was redeemed. So, I do. Praise Jesus. Well, the group wailed. I eyed the front door. I faked up some grateful tears, whimpered something about needing a cigarette, and stumbled outside. It took me 3 hours to hitch a ride back home. You know, I went back to Jacob's Ladder a few times. They had some serious weed once you got to know them. But I finally gave up one day after they were proselytizing. I went with them, and Wolf's van broke down in a shitty neighborhood. And I suggested that we ask for help at one of the local houses. But everybody in the van was white, and all were scared of that part of town. Michael suggested we all pray to find out what Jesus wanted us to do. Yeah, well. When we were done, he said that Jesus had told him he wanted us to use a payphone to call for help. Jesus apparently worked for the phone company. Amen. Thank you.
That was Ezra Buzzington on Propaganda. Thanks for joining us. Tune in next week when we hear about slogans and a certain orange-faced man. Click your way to Rogue Machine Theater to find info on our award-winning stage shows, as well as get tickets to our next Rant and Rave Live event in June. If you like the show, consider sharing it with a friend. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Rogue Machine Theater and have a new story delivered to you automatically every week. Thanks again for listening. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is David Jetty. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Nautistrom. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.